Welcome to a policy podcast brought to you by Science Magazine. Bruce Alberts will be stepping down this month after 5 years at the helm of Science Magazine. Bruce, you've had a wonderful tenure here as editor-in-chief. What were the highlights of your time here?
Well, of course, the highlight is working with this terrific news staff, editorial staff, a lot of dedicated people. Somehow they managed to get an issue out every week. I am so disorganized, I can't imagine how it's possible. And it's always a miracle to see the magazine look so wonderful and read so well. I still haven't figured out after 5 years how it's really possible. But, of course, I've also enjoyed the great privilege of having the chance to help shape what appears in the magazine, largely in two or three ways, I guess. One is I've made lots of international trips with news editors. I just returned from India with Richard Stone, and that visit led to this special issue on science and technology for helping remove the poverty that predominates around the world in countries, especially like India and other developing nations. I've really learned a lot from all those visits, and hopefully some of that's reflected in the magazine. I very much enjoyed the opportunity to do what I was told I could do if I took the job, use Science Magazine to promote better science education, in fact, better education in general, using what we know from scientific research about education to try to make people aware of how we could do better. And, of course, having control of the editorial page has been a great privilege. I've had more than 250 editorials I could either write or commission and help edit. Again, that's been a very big privilege to have an outlook for some of my ideas and opinions.
Wonderful. You've talked about some of the highlights, but what about some of the more difficult aspects of the job?
Well, there are things that are not so much fun, of course, in any job, like dealing with disappointed authors. And, of course, most scientists who submit their manuscripts to Science are disappointed because we only accept a very small fraction of our submitted papers. There's great science done that should definitely be published and is highly important, but doesn't belong in Science Magazine, and not every author appreciates that. So that's one thing. We've made some mistakes. We had some papers that caused us problems, and I spent a lot of time on them. We had the big controversy over whether we should publish certain papers on the bird flu virus, and that took a tremendous amount of time. All these experiences have been learning experiences, even though at the time I didn't enjoy all those very difficult controversies and decisions that we had to make. But I think we got through it okay and turned out well in the end. Scientists like challenges. Most of my life has been as a scientist. And so there are two ways to look at a problem when something happens. One is it's terrible to have a problem, but a better way for a scientist to look at it is a challenge. It's a way to try to see how we can use scientific thinking to come to a good resolution of that problem. So I think scientists are generally optimistic, and so I've enjoyed the job.
And what did you find most rewarding about being editor-in-chief?
I've had many different jobs in my career. In each one, I think the most rewarding part is always feeling that you've made a difference, that if you weren't there, it might not have been the same. I do feel I've made some difference. And the big mission of the AAAS and Science Magazine is really to help spread science throughout the world and to maintain high standards for scientific research and scientific communication. And this is a huge responsibility. I've always felt since my time at the National Academy of Sciences that scientists and science really need to have a higher profile in the world if we're going to get through all the challenges that the world faces. But also spreading the scientific values and the scientific way of thinking that enables people to think rationally about both their lives and how to deal with their own countries. And if we're going to have a tolerant, peaceful world, we need what I call a scientific temper for the world and for every nation, which is looking at the world as a scientist in a way that demands objective analysis, looking for evidence for statements, refusing to just be misled by various kinds of dogma that lead to conflicts and hatred between people. So I see science as an important tool for improving the world.
So you've mentioned a few controversies and challenges. Is there anything you regret?
I regret not doing a better job. I never had enough time to do all the things I wanted to do. I've been talking to my successor about some of my failures, and I'm sure Marcia McNutt, who's a wonderful person who's taking over as editor-in-chief, will accomplish many of the things that I failed to do. For one thing, we have this wonderful editorial board of scientists who review manuscripts for us, and I think they're a fantastic resource for many more aspects of the magazine. And I always wanted to try to arrange to have a conference call with subsets of them, weekly intervals or something like this, and I just never found the time. And there are many other ways that I think these scientists who are all volunteers contribute to the magazine than I've been able to help them do. So that's just one of many things that I'd never got around to. I did accomplish one thing that I was afraid I would never manage. When I first took the editor-in-chief job, I asked seriously whether we've ever failed to get an editorial out every week, because that often has been pretty close. You know, you don't want to publish a bad editorial, and often we're going back and forth to authors just at the last moment, and I never did get ahead of the process in the way I probably should have, so there was always a spare one lying around, so in case we didn't make the deadline, there would be a replacement. So sometimes it was pretty touch and go, and I think I'm going to make it.
Wonderful. And what are your plans for the future now that you're leaving us?
So the reason why I decided to step down for Science Magazine is not only that I think 5 years is long enough, a fresh new view would be useful to Science Magazine, but personally for me, I feel that I want to use my connections and my prestige to try to make a difference in redefining what we mean by the term science education, primarily working in the United States, but also around the world. I just came back from Sudan, where it was part of a meeting organized by the Muslim world to try to bring more scientific thinking to young children in the countries of Northern Africa, but primarily in the United States, to see if we could really meet the great opportunity we have to help people appreciate the world around them and to be able to think like a scientist. Most people will never be a scientist, but I would argue that every child, every adult needs to be able to think logically, solve problems, and ask questions like a scientist so that they could be effective both in their own personal lives and effective as members of a democracy, members of a society. And the one thing I'm going to do for Science Magazine after I finish as editor-in-chief is be a volunteer to help with this project that I've started called Science in the Classroom. As I point out in my editorial, we have a special education website that you don't have to be a subscriber to Science to access, where we put up our work on education. One of the features there is specially selected and specially annotated actual research articles from Science Magazine that are designed to be used by students in high schools and in early college years. And my aim would be, in part of the massive project of redefining science education, would be to have every person in the United States to have in their life read at least one real scientific paper that's been used and taught in a way so that this person who's been through this experience understands how science works, how it's a community endeavor, and how what I called in a previous editorial capital S science is derived from small s science. That is how the work of individual scientists, by contradicting each other, confirming each other, and basically building on each other's efforts, how all that massive work by thousands of scientists leads to the fundamental knowledge that we understand about the world, which is important for everybody to pay attention to, which is capital S science, such as the fact that we know that greenhouse gases are causing a tremendous problem for us in the future, and we better get ahead of this problem. And if everybody understood where that conclusion came from, how that biggest scientific conclusion was reached, then they would have much more ability to make decisions for themselves and for their nations and their communities that would prevent their grandchildren from having to live in a world that's really going to be disturbed by a warmer climate.
Bruce Albitz, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure talking to you today, and I wish everyone a great success in the future. I'll be reading the magazine every week, I promise.
Read Bruce Albitz's farewell editorial in our May 31st issue. I'm Meghna Sachdev. On behalf of Science Magazine and our publishers, AAAS, thanks for joining us.